Blog Talk Radio. compadres. What's going on? Far as Jay Nance, your host for Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. Hope everybody had a safe and wonderful week, but we're back. All right, we have a very, very impactful show tonight. Backed by popular man, by popular demand. My man, Manuel Gomez. All right, he's back. All right, and a lot of you, right after he came on last time, you know, but the brother has a platform with me, and I'm going to send him some fish oil because, you know, the brother's so busy, I want to make sure that when I send him the fish oil, he looks at the bottle, he's going to be like, oh, that's right, Far's Podcast. The brother's on with me every third Saturday of the month until further notice, which that means that we're going to grow gray together. I'm going to see him when he got a bunch of gray hair or he gets a bald spot in the middle or whatever. That's my man, though, Manuel Gomez, and I'm about to bring him on. Before I bring him on real quick, I just want to say thank you to the support from the podcast audience. And also, we're extending, listen, family, we're extending tonight's show because Brother Rashad has some clips about the jab, the shot. So you got to listen now. It's very, very important that you listen to this. All right? We're not making this up. These are scientists and doctors telling you, beware. Okay? So without further ado, and also, thank you for your support with the green tea. I'm setting up a second Facebook page for the green tea. All right? You want to stay healthy? Get that green tea. Go to my Facebook page and get a discount. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on my dear brother, Manuel Gomez. And also, I got a panel of four brothers who are very insightful. They want to talk and maybe ask, not so much talk. The brother Gomez is doing the talking. But if there's anyone that wants to ask any, and of course, intelligent questions, I have the brothers that are on for a panel. All right, I got Rashad, I got Brother Michael, Brother Ishmael, and I got Brother Leon. All right, they're all doing work in their community. All right, and they're helping make a difference, especially with these young kids, these young teenagers who are led astray for whatever the reason may be. There's various reasons. But without further delay, I want to bring on, and the brother has the platform, all right, Brother Manuel Gomez, Brother Manuel from Black Ops. Are you there, brother?
Well, I'm here, brothers. I want to thank you all for having me on tonight. Thank you
to
my brothers from other mothers. I want to say thank you, everyone, for taking this time to listen to this important podcast. Tonight, the information you're about to hear, you're going to need a pen and paper. So everybody that's out there, I want you to get a pen and paper now because we're going to put out and lay it down for you raw and real, and what you're going to hear is something you need to know. First thing I want you to write down is this name, Joseph Franco. Let me say that name again. I'm going to say it slow. Joseph A-N-K-O, detective. I'm sorry, F-R-A-N-C-O, all right? And again, that's F-R-A-N-C-O, Joseph Franco, detective from NYPD. The reason why I want you to know this, and you need to know this, is because this brother has falsely imprisoned over 500 blacks and Hispanics, and these cases are all being dismissed for him lying in court. Now, let me say that again. This detective has lied on over 500 cases. It was on NBC News this past Thursday. The judge in the Bronx just dismissed 133 cases. A judge in Manhattan dismissed 100 cases. A judge in Brooklyn dismissed 90 cases, and they're looking to dismiss approximately another 250 more cases. Did you hear that, my brother? Okay? So this cop was incarcerating blacks and Hispanics for a narcotics bust that never happened. Okay? And now he's been arrested. But the reason why I'm telling you this name is because if you know anyone who was falsely arrested for a narcotics bust, okay, or anybody that's claiming they're innocent, please tell them this name. See if that name is involved in their arrest. Because he and all these other narcotics cops lied with him to incarcerate all these blacks and Hispanics in Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx, and possibly Queens. They still haven't determined that yet, okay? But we're talking more, almost 700 cases. 500 are being overturned now. So now the problem I have with this case, all right, is that every narcotics cop doesn't work alone. he works with a partner, and that partner goes along with what he was doing. So now they're only prisoning and going after Joseph Franco, but none of the other cops that were with him. Now, if anybody knows anybody that's been arrested in the system, you all know that every cop goes up there testifying against you with his partner, okay? Now, if one cop is lying, you all know that the second cop is lying, okay? And this is why I'm telling you this name, because I know my brothers and sisters listening on this podcast know somebody that might have been locked up for the past, and this is, and I want you to hear this good, what I'm about to say. This is for the past 19 years. So anybody that you know that was locked up in New York for some kind of narcotics case, please let them know this name. See if that name is in their paperwork, please, because they're overturning the cases and we're freeing my brothers and sisters from jail right now. This is why in the last podcast that we had on, that my brothers had me back on the show on, we were talking about legislation that I wrote with Frank Serpico called the Department of Civilian Justice, because all these blacks and Hispanics who were being prosecuted had nowhere to turn to say, this guy's lying on me. Now, all these people were saying they were lying, but nobody would listen. And this is why we have to have an independent agency to investigate these cases before my brother spends 10 years in jail and then gets set free. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Agreed.
You know, the problem is we don't have that mechanism until now. This is why all of you, I want you to go back on. Go on my website, Black Ops Pride Investigators. Please, Black Ops, B-L-A-C-K, capital O, capital P, capital S, Black Ops Private Investigators, and you will be able to download the legislation. All right, right now, this January 31st, I have a meeting with State Senator Alessandra Biaggi to finally talk with them to introduce my bills into New York State. Now, I've got it introduced in Connecticut. I've got it introduced now, and it's getting introduced in North Carolina. But I'm trying to get it introduced in every state. I'm asking all of you out there, this is a call to arms. Please, let's get together. Let's unify. Please, call me. Call my brothers on this podcast, 347-867-6242. That's my direct number. If I don't pick up, call me like I owe you child support. All right? But call me, 347-867-6242. I need to unify us. We need to make this agency throughout every state. I will go to your state and stand side by side with you and go to your senator, go to your congressmember in your state so we can get introduced into your state. Because I'm going to tell you, this is 500 black brothers and sisters that were incarcerated who are innocent, and there's another 200 more cases that they're going to set free. But this has been going on for 19 years. Look at all the cops that were with him, but they're only locking up the one white boy. No, this is wrong. They need to all be locked up that were with him because they were lying side by side with him to incarcerate these young blacks and Hispanics. They were lying. These are all innocent people. So when you talk about American Gangster, like the movie, and you talk about Serpico, the movie from the 70s, brothers and sisters, it hasn't changed. I just proved it to you right now. NBC, this Thursday, dismisses 131 cases for Detective Joseph Franco, R-A-N-C-O. Google it. You will see what I'm talking about. Please. But the bad thing about this article, it's only showing one cop's name. Now, we are not stupid. Out there, 500 cases? You're going to tell me 500 cases that one cop did all of them by himself? Come on, brother. For that, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, too, if you're going to believe that. I was a cop. Every cop works with a partner. Every arrest is done with a two-man team. Or a man and female team, but it's always more than one cop, especially in narcotics. And this is narcotics investigation. Again, I'm calling for arms. I'm calling for all of you to support this legislation. Let's get up. Let's knuckle up. Every brother on this podcast will go down with me, and we will go support you to put that legislation in your state. Am I right, brothers?
Yes, sir. You brought it to me. Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about. We don't have anything right now. We don't have this, and that's why I wrote the Department of Civilian Justice. That's why Serpico wrote it with me, because you know what? One of the things he said to me was, and I'll never forget it, he said, kid, do you think you're going to make a difference? And I said, yeah, I'm going to finish what you started, okay? And that's what this bill does. I've got it passed in Connecticut. Senator Dennis Bradley, who's half black and half Dominican, passed it in legislation because he understood it, being a brother from the streets. Not only is a brother from the streets and a state senator, but he's also a criminal lawyer. So he understood it from the criminal lawyer side and knew that that's what Connecticut needed. The problem is, why is it that I can pass it in Connecticut and I can get it in New York? Why? Because the powers to be don't want accountability. Brothers and sisters, when you got a cop having 500 cases overturned from lying, we have to have accountability. Because you can't tell me that every one of those black mothers and Spanish mothers whose children was in that trial room wasn't asking, tell me they weren't pleading that their kids were innocent, but nobody would listen because they had nowhere to turn to. This is America. It's supposed to be the land of the free and the brave. Brothers and sisters, the time of Martin Luther King, it hasn't changed. Yeah, blacks and Hispanics and whites go to school together, but it's the same level of corruption still was there when Martin Luther King was there. The only difference is now they don't call me a spick to my face in the street. They just do it behind closed doors. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. We need to unify, have legislative judicial change. We need to transform our judicial system to accommodate the current corruption that this nation is going through. We have to come together as one. I wish to God, I swear I wish to God, the times of Rosa Parks was here. You want to know why? Because every black person unified behind that woman. And they said, we're not going to ride the bus. We're going to stay in here until you correct your problem and show us the respect as human beings that we could sit anywhere in the bus. And when Rosa Parks had that demonstration with Martin Luther King, let me tell you, they crippled the system. Now imagine now, imagine if every black and Hispanic didn't ride the train or take the bus for 1 week. How much money, how many billions would we cost this country? You think they wouldn't listen to us then?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they would. Kissing our ass to change it. Sorry for saying that ass part, but they would.
That's okay, brother. You're saying what you feel. Express yourself. There you go.
All right. They would be kissing our feet. Brothers and sisters, the problem is that our young bloods now don't have the heart like them, or they don't have the direction. We, the seniors, we need to direct them and come together and show them, let's get behind demonstrations. For demonstrations like that, hit the man in his financial pocket, and I promise you he'll say, please, please stop. What can I do to help you? Martin Luther King proved that with Rosa Parks. He proved that, okay? But every time we get on that bus, we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we get on that train, we forget that. Every time we get in that college with a black and a Hispanic and a white, we forget that, okay? We need to go back to that type of unification where we unify together, and that's why I'm asking you, back up the brothers on this podcast. Back me up as well. Back us up on our support on having this new legislation, the Department of Civilian Justice, enacted in your state so that your kids, if they're stopped by a cop and the cop's lying, that mother can go to this new agency and report the corruption and have somebody investigated who's fair and impartial, who's not part of the police department, who's not part of the prosecutor's office. You can't have a police department check itself, monitor itself, investigate itself, judge itself, and punish itself. Brother, that's not a system of checks and balances. But that's what's going on. That's what's going on right now. Okay? And not even, and more than that, look what else we got going on. We got all these prosecutors that were involved in those cases. Nobody's coming down on them. I mean, I'm assuming everybody on here heard of that movie, Now You See Us, about the Central Park Five, the young black males that were arrested for a rape that were all innocent. At the end of the movie, it proves that the prosecutor lied. She destroyed all five of those lives. The cops lied, but nothing happened to them. They're still getting their pensions. They're still out here. 20 years, those boys were raped, beaten, molested, brutalized, traumatized, suffered from PTSD, from the victimization, and they were enslaved in there, beaten in there, in that prison system. What did they get? They got a check for $40 million from paid out of our pockets. Now, don't get me wrong. They deserve that money. But the problem is, it didn't solve the problem. It was, here's $40 million. Shut up. Go buy yourself something. Get out of here. You understand? This right now, Joseph Franco, there's more of them out there in every state. Brothers and sisters, you cannot tell me that there's not one person on the show that doesn't know or who's listening to us that doesn't know somebody who got locked up and they were screaming they were innocent. As a private investigator, I have learned, unfortunately, that I would say a minimum of 25% of the people in jail don't even belong in there. They don't even belong there. This 500 cases proves exactly what I'm saying. And here's the sad thing. The sad thing, some of these people had to wait 10 and 12 and 15 years for their cases to get thrown out. 10 and 12, 15 years for their cases to get thrown out. And then we're now, the taxpayers, going to pay hundreds of millions to all these cases. Now, don't get me wrong. Do they deserve it? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is we're paying all that money, but we don't have nothing in place to stop corruption like this, so we don't have to continue paying money like that. You don't run a business like that. You don't run a government like that. That's why in America our government is based on a system of checks and balances where the executive branch checks the legislative branch and the legislative branch checks the judicial branch. But brothers and sisters, that's only on the federal level. What's going on in the state level? It's the good old boy system. All right? This is some, to be honest with you, this is like some Ku Klux Klan stuff going on, except with a shirt and tie and being done very sophisticatedly. And that is what they're doing. They are in taking your freedom because there is no accountability to them, so they can lie on you. And then the more cases a detective like Joseph Franco got, the higher his promotions kept going. But you see, here's my problem. When you look at the NBC article, it talks about Joseph Franco. It talks about his cases, which I'm very familiar with. But it doesn't talk about all the cops that were with him, lying with him. Again, we're not stupid. You can't have 500 cases and tell me you did all 500 by yourself. Brother, he ain't Jesus. Even the devil had people helping him. All right? And this is what I'm talking about. This guy is not alone, and we don't have any accountability. I'm asking you out there, please, get on that website. Get on the news. Google that Joseph Detective Joseph Franco. See what I'm talking about. All right? Call us up here at this podcast. Let's help you. Let's get it together. What do my brothers think about this topic?
Yes, brother. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead, brother.
I can hear you. What's your opinion?
First of all, I just want to say ashe to everybody that's on the line. Brother, I got a few questions to ask you.
Sure.
The statement that I want to make is that you're right about what you're saying. It's not enough elders out here to handle everything that's going on. I'm speaking on a level from where I'm at. I'm down here by Atlantic City, and I've been doing this type of work for almost 30 years now. But the side that you're on, go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. Finish your statement, man.
The side that you're on, I'm on the front end of that side. The front end meaning I've been working with the kids throughout most of the high schools here and some of the colleges here, trying to get these guns out of their hands and keep them out of trouble before it even gets to that point or that level.
Amen.
And so, you know, it is tiresome because it's, you know, I said it before, you know, we can't blame the kids entirely because everything starts at home, either with the parents or the grandparents that's not teaching them, you know, what they need to know. And then we have a lot of fatherless kids, you know. Some of us men, you know, we want to run around making these babies, but we don't want to take care of them. And so that becomes a problem. So then you got the brothers like that's on this line, and maybe that's waiting to chime in to try to step in to try to maybe help that out on that level, on every level, because this thing is getting out of control. So I know how difficult it is. I can't even begin to tell you how many guns I didn't took out of kids' hands, how many kids I didn't got out of these gangs, how many kids I didn't got to stop doing drugs, how many kids I didn't got to go to college. And college is not for everybody. But then I try to incite for them to go to trade school and try to stay positive. So my thing with you, brother, is this. You know, the work you do is a beautiful thing. I looked you up. I looked you up on YouTube, and I seen the one case that you did, the documentary that they had about the young man who got blamed for the shootings, and he was all the way innocent. The first question I got for you, brother, is I want to know, do you know what that gentleman is doing today? The young boy that you got.
I do. That's Pedro Hernandez. Actually, I think it's
Pedro
Hernandez case you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
They offered him $1 million. I'm sorry, $1,200,000 to settle out of court about 3 months ago. And he said no. He told him to go to hell. He said, I'm going to court and I'm going to expose the injustice, what you did. I'm going to expose. And I know because I was there with him.
That's cool.
First of all, let me just let everybody know, for a 19-year-old boy, I'm sorry, 19-year-old young man, to turn down $1,200,000, I don't know too many that can turn that money down. Hell, I don't know anybody that can turn down $1,200,000 that quickly down. Do you? Because I sure as heck don't. Okay? And this brother did it without blinking an eye. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He told him, took 40% of my, they maced him in the face while he was in jail, okay? And they didn't let him clean his eyes for 14 hours. He lost 35% of his vision.
Wow.
Now, you tell me $1 million, $1,200,000 is worth 35% of your vision? I don't think so, okay?
No.
Not at 19 years old, okay? But, again, he's sticking to his guns, and he's doing what he has to do, and he's going to school, and he's fighting it out. We're supposed to go to trial in that case. I'm actually going to be testifying as his expert witness in that case because, again, this was another NYPD detective, Detective David Terrell, who had 1,000 arrests. Let me say that again because I almost choked when I heard that. 1,000 arrests, only 16 years in the job, and out of 1,000 arrests, 700 of them were children between the ages of 12 and 16 years old, okay? And guess what the majority of that nationality were? Black. So here's a black man that didn't know that Black Lives Matter, okay? And he's been falsifying cases, okay? And that's how I proved Pedro Hernandez, because I found Stephen Williams, a young black man, who they forced him to lie on 50 cases. Let me say that again. They alive that he saw young kids commit crimes 50 different times on people he didn't even know and never was there. This black detective did that. Now I got this white detective who's in the news right now with 500 cases. You see my point? You know,
that's
to me, one case is too many. You know, we need to get in. And then I feel for you even more. First of all, let me say two things. One, I respect you. I admire you for your tenaciousness and your ability to stand out and help take guns off the street and talk to these young cats and get them out of gangs and try to get them into something productive. So may God bless your work. May God bless every step you take. Okay? I support and admire people like you. Okay? And I will tell you, but the second problem, and I pity this, I'm sad for you on this. Jersey is one of the worst states. Do you know that the entire state of New Jersey's law enforcement was found guilty of racial profiling by the federal government about 3 years ago? Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that, brother, yes.
Okay. And do you know that they're still that way now?
Yes, I know.
And then the other problem I got is, I take that back, the other problem I have is that you, these young brothers out there, young black brothers, they're so used to being thrown up against the wall, used to being frisked, having a cop go inside their underwear, having a cop strip their pants in the street. They're so used to this, they don't even know that they're being violated. They don't even know that they have the right to sue. No, man, I'm just a black man walking down East New York, man, Newark. This is what's going to happen to me. I'm just letting you know. Come on, man. That's wrong. We got to educate these young cats to know you can sue them. Officer, why are you stopping me? What's the probable cause? That's the words you got to write down tonight, people. Officer, why are you stopping me? What is the probable cause? And say it politely, but make sure your phone is recording. Make sure you get that spy watch. My brother from Jersey, you're helping taking these people, guns out of the streets. Do me a favor. When you do that, also tell them how they can defend themselves against these cops. Tell them that every time they're stopped and thrown up against a wall, do you know that's a $100,000 lawsuit? Now I want to ask you to do me one favor. Ask every one of your people that you help how many times they were stopped.
Okay,
What I do is I
explain to them now, you know, the reason why, you know, real knows real when they see it and they hear it. These kids know, you know, like I said, over 30 years that I've been talking to them is that because I did go to jail. I went to jail myself. My case is a little different. And so, you know, they know when they hear it that they know they're talking to somebody who's been down that road. So what I tell them today is, and I was incarcerated back in the 80s, the early 80s. What I tell them today is, as soon as you get stopped, start recording. As soon as they stop, just put your phone on. Just put your phone on right away. And don't do anything that's going to make them say that you resisted. You know, one of the things that I was taught was that one of the things that we're all supposed to do, if we get pulled over by the cops anywhere, you're supposed to call 911. And the reason why you call 911 is because they can't hang up on you. And it's recording the whole time. They cannot hang up on you. Now, even if you don't say nothing to them, they still cannot hang up on you. And so it's
everybody
being recorded.
Everybody listen to what he just said.
And
say
everybody,
that again one more time. I want to make sure.
When you get pulled over by any police officer, you're supposed to instantly call 911. And the reason why is because they cannot hang up on you, and it's being recorded. Even if you don't say you're in jeopardy or you need help, they cannot hang up on you because they can hear everything that's going on, and that's your proof right there. You know, another thing is that I know a lot of us don't know our rights, and I know that when you get stopped and the peace officer asks your name, if you don't tell them your name or anything, they can't deal with you. If you can ask them to recite the oath that they took. if a police officer doesn't even know the, and one of the part of the oath that they took was to protect the law of the land. If any one of us on this line do not know what I'm talking about, we are the law of the land. The people are the law of the land. So these guys work for us. It doesn't say that we get to talk to them or treat them like poop or crap, but if you ask an officer to recite his oath and he can't do that, it's intense that you're supposed to ask to speak to his superiors. Because if he can't recite the oath that he took, he has no business trying to protect us or serve us. Because his oath, part of his oath was to protect the law of the land, which is us as the people. And so what I do with my kids, I tell them straight from the door, I try to prevent them from being anywhere and doing anything. You can't hold their hands all the time. The only thing you can do is keep talking to these youngsters and pray for them and their parents, because their parents sometimes act worse than them. And you know what it's all behind? Because a lot of these kids act out because they're illiterate. Some of them are illiterate. Some of them having problems at home. But they don't want you to know that, so they act out. And their parents come down. And when their parents come down, when you can get them to come down, they act out worse than their kids, because they don't want you to know what's going on with them inside, and you're making them look bad. And they take offense to think that you're saying that they're not good parents. But I found out that when we start working together with their parents and we start working together with their grandparents, it makes a difference in these kids and how they function at home and outside of here. So, yeah, brother, I did watch. I'm glad that you still are. So let me ask you another question. The question I want to ask you is, when they offered that young man that money, did that come with, if he took the money, he could not go to court and press any other charges or to keep pursuing? That's what it came with? It came with that?
The money, they wanted to pay him $1,200,000 to keep his mouth shut, and then that was it. Everything goes away and can't talk about it again.
No, he did. That brother did the right thing.
He did, and that's the problem I have, is that there's so many kids out there that they do this to. But like I said, if we are filing complaints, filing lawsuits against these cops, right, like Detective David Terrell that did with the Pedro Hernandez case, like Detective Joseph Franco, which is now under investigation, he's already got almost 500 cases thrown out that he lied on, that this brother lied on, okay? Now, if we can get these young brothers and sisters out there filing lawsuits against them, now you're building a history of corruption on that cop for violating your rights, for lying, and so forth. And then this is how we can get rid of them, until we get legislation enacted, which is, like I said, what I'm trying to fight for. You know, I went to Assemblywoman McKnight in Jersey, okay? She's a black assemblywoman, all right? And I also went to Senator Cory Booker, all right? But somebody better give Cory a mirror, because Cory forgot that he's a brother, okay? Because I went out there. Oh, yeah, somebody better let him know. Cause
We already know that. Some of us know that in North. Yeah.
He got two white for the office. And the problem is that he sits on the Judiciary Committee, and I try to get in there and work with these people to put this legislation, and they're all saying, yeah, blacks should have these rights, and this shouldn't happen to us. So I'm like, well, what's the problem with pushing my legislation? And they says, well, you know, you're scaring a lot of people with this. You're going to be taking away a lot of power. Now, this is what I was told. My mouth hit the floor. Okay? I said, wait a minute. Does anybody need a mirror in this office? Because this office is black, and you're going against helping black people and minorities and Spanish people and everyone else? I said, at minimum, you should be helping your people first. You ain't even doing that. And that's the problem. And the same thing with Assemblywoman McKnight, another black assembly member I went to. I went to already seven black state officials in Jersey. Brothers and sisters, I got a better chance of making out with Beyonce and winning the Powerball than letting them hear about legislation that's going to bring oversight over law enforcement and oversight over prosecutors. They don't even entertain it. This is how, why I pity you in Jersey. Because Jersey's corruption, they got it down to a science.
They do.
A science.
They do. They okay? do. But why I can tell and, you what Jersey and, don't and, like. I can tell you what Jersey
I know,
don't
they
like.
They don't like
though.
Audios.
They don't like.
They don't like audio.
They don't,
they
like,
don't like video.
They don't like when, yes, they don't like when you put them in the local news. They don't like it.
That's what I'm talking about. We have to unify, and then we can
yes,
put
sir,
them
most
in
definitely. Now, Brother Gomez, hold on for a minute. Brother Leon, thank you. Hold on for a minute, brother. Just stay with us.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Anybody else? Because Brother Leon is long with it like me, because time is flying. We've got other guests coming on.
Yes.
Brother Michael, Rashad, or Brother Ishmael. I got three brothers left on the panel. Anybody would like to address Brother Gomez?
Yes. It's
Brother
Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Again, thank you, Brother Gomez, for all that good information. We really appreciate you. And also, Leon, thank you also, because you dropped some pearls also, some information that is very valuable. So we thank you. Brother Gomez, let me ask you this. This officer, Joseph Franco, don't they have records of who his partners were who were involved with these arrests?
Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct. They do, and that's been brought out. But the problem is the NYPD doesn't want to go after all the rest of those cops. You want to know why? Because now you just showed a systemic problem. Rather than saying, oh, well, this guy is responsible for all 500 arrests. Again, we all know no cop works alone. Not a cop works alone. Okay? So there was 500 arrests that are overturned and dismissed, with, and that was a cop with him on every one of those arrests. Now, he was lying, and the cop was backing up his lie on every one of those arrests. Why isn't all those cops on there? And you want to know why? Because they don't want to show you it's a systemic problem. So they say it's one bad apple. You see what I mean?
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. The other thing is, if you don't mind, okay, these cops who do these things, the false arrest on black and Hispanic people, so why when they have a suit, just like with the Central Park Five, when they have a suit, how come they can't sue those police officers who are involved?
Brother, that's exactly what I was talking about in the Department of Civilian Justice. It takes away their immunity. See, once they're a cop, they're secure. You could sue the cop, but the city takes over the responsibility for the lawsuit. What I'm saying is take away that immunity from the cop, right? And now hold him for 5%, 10% of your lawsuit. So let's say if you get a $1 million lawsuit, that cop has to pay $100,000. See what I'm saying? Now, that will make you think twice before you throw that black brother up against the wall or that Spanish brother up against the wall at the pizzeria. You see what I'm saying? It'll make you think twice before you stop them for driving while being black or driving while being Hispanic. You understand? So, but we don't have no incentives of that. That's why me and Frank Serpico collaborated on the Department of Civilian Justice, and that's why I go back to, Brother Leon, I forgot to ask you, what state are you in?
Jersey.
I'm in New Jersey.
Don't tell me Newark.
No, I'm down here by Atlantic. I'm down here by Atlantic City.
Leon, all right, and the other brother I was just speaking to, the Brother Rashad. Where you at?
Oh, I'm in East Orange, right next to Newark. Originally from Newark.
There you go. I knew there was one up. All right, okay. So, we need to have that legislation there. Newark and Atlantic City, and don't get offensive, Brother Leon. Don't be offended, but they're just as bad. Right. You know, cops in Atlantic City, the N-word, as quick as I say hello. Just like the brothers in Newark. Trust me what I'm saying, okay? We need to have this legislation Brother Shot, if you know anybody that is in the legal offices of the state assembly or the state senate where we can introduce this into Jersey, let me know. Because myself, Brother Leon, Rashad, all of us will come down and back it. Okay? So we can get type of legislation to protect our children's children's children. You know, right now, you know, it only takes one of us to show. All right? I'm just asking one of you brothers, lead it for Jersey. I'm going to come back you up. We all going to back you up. Lead it for Washington, D.C. Lead it for Virginia. Let's get somebody on this podcast in their states to let's lead it. And, again, if you want to get involved and you want this legislation in your state and you're willing to go to a state assembly or a congress member or a state senator, 347-867-6242. I will come, and I'll make sure my brothers and other mothers on the show will come with you. Hell, I will pay for the plane tickets to go there. For all of us. I just said that on the radio right now. For all of us to go. Okay? We're going to piss them off in first class. All right?
Like I told you, yeah, but like I told you, Brother Gomez, just trying to find an honest and a selfless politician is rough because out here in Newark, and the mayor of Newark, who happens to be the son of Amiri Baraka, he was pounding his fist. It was on Channel 12. I was talking to his sister today. She says she saw it. I took 5 COVID shots. Anybody walks around the city of Newark without a mask, I'm going to lock them up. That's fascism, brother.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I'm telling you. What's that?
Remember I told you last week?
Yeah.
You know, they had that Disney Ice Capade thing down at the
Prudential Center.
Prudential Center.
Right.
And all these people, parents, had bought all these tickets beforehand to go take their children there. And guess what? When they got there, they told me, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come in. All these children out there crying and stuff. They wouldn't even let the parents or the children who weren't vaccinated. Most of them weren't even vaccinated. That's a shame.
Oh.
This is Ross Baraka's.
Yeah, right. Get out of here.
But see, money corrupts. Me and my brother Darren, we talk about it all the time. Money corrupts these guys. And also, before you go, Brother Gomez, I want your comment on Eric Adams, because I know a few people over here that said they have met Eric, and they've been watching him and what he's saying on TV, and they're saying, oh, he's leaning more toward corporate now. He's going more to the, you know, I don't know what direction he's been in the swing. But what's your take on the mayor over there?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I know Eric as a cop. I knew him one way. He was the founder of the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. And, you know, they were fighting against, you know, racism and corruption within the police department, kind of like what my documentary was showing. But when he got in office, he started to become more corporate. I met with Eric about, I'd say about 2 months ago. And I was at a dinner. And I spoke to him. I said, my brother, I said, don't tell me you crossed over, you know. And he said, nah, I haven't. I'm sticking to the fight. I'm just being diplomatic. And I said, well, there's a fine line between diplomatic and selling out. I said, please say it ain't so. He says, no, you're going to see the difference. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm praying that he doesn't sell out and that he, you know, makes that difference. Can I see that happening? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
Right.
Because I'm starting to hear that corporate voice, you know, as you so eloquently put. But I'm praying that he doesn't. I'm praying that he doesn't sell out and that he sticks to the fight.
Well,
the only thing I'm going to tell you is it's going to take another couple of months before I can really make a decision on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother, you're on here, you have a platform, you're here every month with us, the third Saturday of every month. So monthly we'll do a report on Eric Adams and see him, you give us your take on him, because he's right over there in New York. But already this man over here, man, he's out to lunch, man. You know, he got a lot of nerve. Nobody told him to take 5 shots and 10 boosters. That's on him. Everybody
yes.
else, I haven't taken a shot yet, and I'm still healthy. And I want to stay healthy. I can't predict the future.
Oh, man, God bless you.
Yeah, but thank you. But I'm just saying, listen. We had the signs, Brother Rashad, Brother Michael, Ishmael, my brother Leon. We got the signs on this, man. You know what I'm saying? We know where to go for alternative news, just like you do, Brother Gomez. I don't know if you took the shot, brother, but like I said, that's your choice.
I
don't knock somebody.
I'm going to be honest with you. No, I had to because, you know, I'm in the street all the time. And when you're out there like I am, you got no choice.
Well, you know what I told you. You know what I told you when you invited me over for go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, but, brother, I was saying, when you invited me over for a steak, I told you, when me and Rashad or whoever, we get together, we gas the pace up and come see when the weather breaks. Don't take me to the steak place. We want a nice vegan spot over there. We want to eat kind of healthy. We're going to take you, our brother, with us, and you're going to be like, damn, I really didn't miss that meat. But like I said, it's your choice, brother. Eat that steak. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man,
but now, wait a minute. We got
vegan,
two other brothers. Yeah, well, listen. We got
some vegan restaurants up in the Bronx or Brooklyn or
Maine. Yeah, we go. Hey, listen. Hang up on him. We'll treat him. You know?
I'm a little scared of vegan. I don't know what the heck to order.
Well, we'll order for you. Whatever we order, it'll taste scrumptious. I promise you that. You know?
We'll screw you on what to eat, man. Because, brother, let me tell you something. The vegan dishes, you have vegan dishes that taste just like regular dishes, like meat, fish, everything, yeah. man. You wouldn't even know you were eating a vegan dish. You think you're eating a real thing. That's how good they are at making these dishes now.
Right.
So don't worry about that, brother. If you go there and you order a vegan hamburger, you swear you would eat one. You order a vegan fish, you swear just came out the ocean, man. You're like, wait a minute, is this real?
Yeah.
But one more thing before you let him go, Brother Forrest. Brother Gomez, look, I looked up spy watches, right? What kind of spy watch you got? I want to make sure I get the right kind. Is there a certain brand or what?
Well, I actually buy a spy watch from Spy Associates.
Spy Associates?
Yeah, they have a good one, and they run between about 100 to 150 bucks. And the the one I use it has a 256 gigabyte drive in it, so it keeps
265 gigs.
Yeah, hours.
Oh, okay, good.
256 gigabyte. Some of them have 32. Some of them have 100. You know, but the point is, no matter which one you get, make sure it's at least 100 or better, because I find when you buy the cheaper ones, they don't last you and they don't work well. So don't be cheap when it comes to yourself. Spend at least 100 bucks. Again, SpyAssociate.com. They have some very good ones, and you'll see the reviews on these watches. I highly recommend them because I've used a lot of their equipment. If not, then you can go to another place called B&H Electronics on 34th Street.
I know that spot.
B&H Electronics. Go to the second floor. They sell them there. And you can get a nice one for about 120 bucks there.
Oh, great. And next time I go to New York, stop over there because I go to New York frequent. So I know
what the good thing about it, you can park for free there too. You know that, right? If you go
No, I'm not
going to
park. I take the
I'm
in New York for more. I'm a senior citizen. Jump on the train for $3. Get all the way to New York and walk right there to where B&H is, back on the train, and I'm good to go, my brother.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you. Now, for anyone who ain't taking the train, you can still park for free there.
But Brother Gomez, $16 to go through the tunnel, then I have to pay the New Jersey Turnpike. Look, $6 round trip, you can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Save that money, brother. That's right.
And I'm a walker, man. I can walk 10, 15 miles with no sweat.
Right. I'm trying to tell you.
I hate that George Washington Bridge or Lincoln Tunnel.
I don't even want to drive. I don't even want to drive, Brother Gomez.
I don't blame you. It's less problems, you know. By the way, Yeah, Rashad, right quick. We got Ishmael. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. You want to talk to Brother Gomez? Because I believe he told me that you had called the brother before y'all spoke to each other briefly.
Yes, I did. How you doing, brother?
How you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Good, man. I'm working with a case of I know the family. Young boy, man, was in one of the mental houses. It was a house with everybody. Well, he goes there. The very first day, one of the girls approached him. Now, the staff saying they seen them together. When the staff saw them, she went outside. Long story short, the girl gave him some pussy, went upstairs to shower, called her mother, and then went downstairs and said the girl raped her. And it's been going on. Now, once I got involved, because I know the family, I got the transcript. And I'm reading the stories, called the lawyer up and said, listen, these stories is not matching because the girl says she saw him, but then she goes outside. So what's going on? She's supposed to protect it, but it never didn't happen. Now, the reason why I say it, because this same girl did it again. And what's going, they're protecting, we went to court the other day, but they have the DA's talking about they got somebody that's publicizing all this and this. Now nobody said anything, you know, about this case. But once he did that, it just reminded me of the Emmett Till. Now he can get out of it. He don't want to cop out. He says he don't want to. One of the judges and the lawyer wanted, he did it 90 days. So they wanted him to cop out this con and it's over.
No, it's not over because then he becomes a registered sex offender. So it's not over.
Yeah, no,
stays with him for life.
Yeah. Listen, the girl gave, and what more I'm reading, because this took a lot out of me, man, because it's personal because I know them. And the more I'm reading, I'm saying they trying to, the agency's trying to protect itself by throwing this, didn't do their job. I worked at places like that. They didn't do their job, so I'm not letting them do that. Oh, yeah, another thing. They don't have no rape kit.
Yeah, well, brother? I mean, what state is this in that this is happening?
This is Kingston, New York, just before you get to Albany. They don't have a rape kit. Now, the reason why, because she took a shower.
Yeah.
She went through the changes where she took a shower.
Well, what needs to be done in a case like this is, first of all, someone's got to come see this girl and record her without her knowing. So sit down with a watch, with a spy watch or your phone, recording, and talk to her. If you want me to see what I can do to help you on this case, I'd be more than happy to. But I would need the name and phone number or address of that girl and then try to catch her before she gets home. You know, catch her while she's walking down the street.
Try to catch her, and see
what kind of spontaneous statement I can get from her, you know?
Yeah, but she was living there, and after my guy, he did it again, and they moved her. Now, I'm getting information from the staff that I know there. So I'm gonna try to see how credible that is. It should be, but the name and all, because she did this before. Her and her mother did this because I remember the case before I went to prison, and they messed up my file system in my office in my house, but I think it's the same person. The parents, now I was telling them about you, maybe we might link up, because the moms is like really pissed off. Now, they're going to do what I tell them to do. Because they know that if they don't, I can do it. I'm not a lawyer, but I can put in motions and all that. So they know that. They don't want me to do that, but I'm going to force them to do that.
Okay,
and
if not, then
I'm going to call to the ethics committee on that.
Okay, Brother Ishmael, on that note, we're going to have to pick up part two on this next time the brother comes back next month.
Okay.
But, of course, we have Sister Inez is about to come on. Brother Gomez, I want to say this. Once again, because time constraints, we got a sister coming on at 8 o'clock, and it's about 8 o'clock now. Brother Michael's going to bring her on. please give out your information to the people and let them know how you can be contacted, and also where your YouTube is real quick.
Okay.
Yep. You can go on Black Ops Private Investigators. Again, that's BLACK, letter O, letter P, letter S, Black Ops Private Investigators. And you can pull me up on Google, or you can go on call me directly at 347-867-6242. Again, that's 347-867-6242. Or you can watch a documentary on me on YouTube or on Hulu, Crime and Punishment, and you can see how I work. Again, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to have me on the show, and may God bless you all, and I hope we can continue to make a result and get everybody to unify.
Well, brother, you're part of the family now, so we'll see you again next month. Family, you had that number. Brother Ishmael will pick up on this the next segment when the brother comes back. Brother, in the meantime, we're about to go to our next guest. Peace and blessings to you, brother. You know, I'll be in contact with you, man. We're going to talk.
You got it. I want that vegan burger.
Yes, sir, brother. You got it.
You got it. Me and Rashad, Ishmael, and Leon, we're all going to get in the pace, and we'll be coming over.
Yeah, I'm telling you. God bless.
All right, peace, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right, you too.
Oh, man.
Brother Jay, we ready for our next guest. Brother Michael's going to bring him on, Sister Inez.
Okay. Yeah, we waiting for her call at this moment.
Oh, wow. Well, I could have let Brother Gomez kept talking there. Okay. Well, we'll let Brother Michael. Huh? Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, let Brother Ishmael know that you don't have to wait till next month. Let him contact Brother Gomez and talk to him privately. So,
he has the number. I gave it to him weeks ago.
All right. Now, I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to wait till next month.
No, I'm saying as far as the podcast audience, Brother Ishmael.
I understand that, but, you know, for his personal case there, you know.
Right. Yeah, I gave Brother Ishmael the number weeks ago, and when they were talking, remember, in exchange, he said, oh, good talking to you again. He made contact with him before.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they talked, but they talked to each other. Yeah, I wouldn't delay it for the next show when he got a case come up and the brothers could put their heads together and make it work for that young man out there.
It's going to work. Believe me. I'm telling you, I don't play around. I don't care what they say or do. It ain't happening. Mm-hmm. Families, as a matter of fact, Monday I'm going to have the mother call the lawyer,
right?
Because the DA made it a racial. He was grandstanding, but I want to tell this woman that because what he did, I'm gonna have my reporters, man, write a story on it and whatever I can do, because I'm not letting you railroad this kid. Period.
Right.
You know, and he has an age, and she agreed 100%. So I do my job. I'm not an attorney, but I have a legal services. But I do my job well, because that's what I wanted to be, and I learned from a couple of the best. So I don't worry about the man.
Well, I got the bio, brother, and now our people know. That's Brother Ishmael Shabazz. We got Brother Leon from Atlantic City area, y'all. That's South Jersey. And we got everybody's familiar with Brother Rashad El Amin, our naturopath. And also, we got Brother Michael Collins from Longevity Products. My man from he's from Long Island, which is out near the water. I know it's it was cold in North today, man. I know it's got to be cold out there where you're near the water, man. You know, so is it cold up there in Kingston, brother?
Oh hell yeah! Hey, listen,
you said hell
yeah.
Huh?
Some flip up on the people. Raz Barak.
What about him?
He changed up on the people.
Oh, brother. Big
time. Oh,
Big time, man.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I know some people, man. I got a friend of mine that got a lawsuit against him because when Cory Booker was in office, when he was the mayor, because he just used the position as a stepping stone, they had a deficit. They had a budget that was deficit. When Baraka came in, it was a surplus. That means they had enough money, and they short my man's pay by $37,000 a year. The brothers with the finance department, okay?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, man, you're gonna talk about we see what we can do. And he told that to somebody else. Well, I'm not gonna mention, You know, I'm talking about that's too much money. It was a lot. This person was due the money that was due him. He was illegally fired. Okay, and they go, and his brother gonna look at my people and say, "Oh, that's too much money." Like somebody asking him to give up the money. The brother deserves his money, man. I'm telling you, man, it's corruption, man. It's corruption all
and
across the board.
You protecting their money. You protecting
brother,
their money.
Listen. We know me and Rashad are from in this area. Like the brother said, man, it don't matter where you. It's systematic, man. And it's just unfortunate that we got black people that get in office, but it's nothing but a black face in a high place, like my African-American studies teacher used to always tell. That's all it is, brother. They corrupt. They talk that good talk when they councilmen, when they district leaders, but when they get in that high office of mayor, boy, they change, brother. I'm telling you, man. The status quo. Uh-oh. Come in, Jay. What's happening? Jay. Or Brother Michael. Brother Michael, you there, brother?
Your guest is here.
Oh, beautiful.
Let me introduce Inez Bracey to the Grown Talks folks radio network. I've known Inez for the last 4 or 5 years, and we've had a lot of personal encounters, sharing books, ideas, meditation, and Inez, I would say, is a strong woman. And when you look at a liberated woman, you see Inez's picture. She is fearless. She is educated. She loves to read. She meditates, and she's a counselor. But her specialty is clearing out the clutter that causes the blockage that keeps you a prisoner from your true self. So Inez is going to steer with us ideas of how we can get in touch with ourselves, how we can live our true selves, and the power of truth that we all carry within ourselves. So without any further ado, let me introduce Inez Bracey.
Thank you, Michael. That was so beautiful. Wow. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
I am absolutely delighted to be on this show.
Well, welcome. Thank you.
My friends, the Valentines, have been on your show, and I was on it when they were on listening.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The whole idea behind so many things, I think, happens because we as a people have been led down a primrose path thinking that we're going to be fine with the things because that's our heart. I hear feedback.
Yeah, I do too. Jay, where's that feedback come from? Family that's unmuted, make sure that you don't have anything going on in your background while the sister's talking there, because it is a little feedback. I don't know where it's coming from, but I hear it too. Mute your phones if you have to. Go right ahead, my sister, see if you get that feedback.
Okay, thank you. No, I don't get
thank
it
you.
Now. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Then the biggest part about all of that primrose path is it was to distract us from being the people we know ourselves to be. Because we know we got it in our DNA. We know we got it. But whenever we allow others to direct our path, that's what we do. And as I work with my clients, and it's just so many of us who have embraced everything that's almost 180 degrees contrary to what we know, especially when you look at the astrology and numerology and all of the natural laws of nature that we were taught that's evil. We shouldn't do that, especially with religion in the space. And having religion in the space telling us who we could be was always a disconnect for me because I was brought up Southern Baptist and I would go to church. And hanging on the cross would be the white Jesus, but the preacher would be preaching about the man with hair like wool and bronze skin. That just did not connect for me. And we are still doing that, and that saddens me because we haven't given ourselves permission to release that fable, I'll call it, and let it go. So in clearing out the clutter, as Michael mentioned, we must. It is imperative that we give ourselves permission to sit and be still and be okay with being uncomfortable in the stillness as the truth, our truth, is revealed to us. And as the truth is being revealed, we don't get to negate that truth. We get to stay with it until we know it's ours and be there. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when we're looking outside ourselves for validation, when we're looking outside ourselves for living, when we're looking outside ourselves for love, why would you look other than inside? That's where it is. Because we have been told to look outside, there's this thing about seek and you shall find. The seeking has always implied outside of yourself, when really it is seeking within. Because you go within to find out exactly who you be. And I intentionally say who you be, because that's what it's really all about. The thing that really gets me more than anything else is when we are still looking at Jesus in the sky, in the heaven. What about God? I hear the noise again. But the God in us is really where we get to go. Now, we can call it source, we can call it creator, whatever you want to call it, but we have it all in us. When we begin to realize and understand, overstand, and understand that it's perfectly okay to go within, seek the truth of ourselves, from ourselves, and be that, now we are on a path of creating our life in such a blissful manner. People will want some of that. They want to know, how'd you get to where you are? It's all because I know who I be. And as I'm knowing that, who else would I be? It causes us to sit and do some clearing. Reading other people's books and things, that's really good as well. But as we are reading, we get to also be discerning in the reading. Because as we are discerning, we will be able to pick out those things that are for us to see, hear, and be, rather than just owning everything that people say. The more that we give ourselves permission to understand ourselves, it makes it easier to let go of all those things, and I'm going to say in quotes, of the world that no longer serve us. A big part of that is creating a routine, creating something that we know we will continue, something that it could be about how you start your morning, it could be how you go to bed, it could be whatever your routine is that you know you will keep up. It could be starting an exercise program. Whatever it is that you continue to do, and you can add to it as you go along. You don't have to do everything in one fell swoop, but it is important to start somewhere. So as you're starting somewhere on your journey, it's important to really be mindful as well. Because as you are being mindful of your conditions inside and outside, it's going to give you some clues that will lead you down the path of where your desires of the heart are waiting for you to connect with, but you haven't connected because you have not given yourself permission. As you go down these paths, and there are so many of them, being mindful and open-minded, because now when you're mindful, you're noticing all the little nuances. A lot of times we notice the big things. Like we had this, it got so cold yesterday, the wind was blowing so fiercely, it's like I'm staying in the house. That was very obvious. But what about the undercurrent of that coldness that came through that made me say I'm staying in the house and staying in the house? So when we are noticing the big things, look for the little things too. What's under that? What is the veil? What is behind that veil? that's causing me to feel so good or causing me to be off center? Or what is it that's doing that? It's all about something that's inside that we haven't dealt with. And until we deal with it, we're going to keep being that way. It's so empowering and motivating when we decide to be. And as we decide, it's okay to be me. I deserve to be me. Deservedness is really a big deal for us because we've been told we don't deserve anything, but we do, and we get to own that. But how do we clear out all that clutter that's around deservedness? We clear it out by letting it come forward. Now, some of the things that come up for us as we are going through this process of getting to know ourselves intimately and loving ourselves no matter what, it's going to cause a lot of pain because it's painful. But why are you holding on to pain? You get to let it go. And when you allow that pain to go, then you can replace it with just joy, bliss. We like to make things complex when things are really quite simple. The sun rises, the sun sets, the moon comes up. That's simple. So why do we have to have everything so complex? Because it distracts us from being the person that we can be and knowing who we be and doing the things that we know we should be doing or could be doing. That's really what that's all about. And I'm going to pause.
Inez, you brought up a couple of things. You brought up the point, number one, that with religion, we are really put in a place with the known religions. We are in a system that's really based on non-love and based on fear and based on suffering. And can you talk about meditation and how meditation brings you into that state of bliss consciousness, and in that bliss consciousness, you feel the inner peace, and the ramifications of the bliss is that you start to have total knowledge of systems around yourself, that when you start to incorporate this, you make a more peaceful life for yourself, and you make a more peaceful life for everyone you come in contact with. Can you enumerate on that?
Absolutely, and that is absolutely what you said really is, that's really what it's really all about, Michael, because religion is a control mechanism. I think we can all agree on that. And because of that, we have been taught to pray, but we haven't been taught to meditate. So praying gives us the opportunity to beseech God in heaven. Rather than meditating, allowing ourselves to just notice, I'll use the word notice, being mindful of all the thoughts that are coming. We let them come and we let them go. And as these thoughts are coming, the more we do it, those old thoughts will begin to dissipate because the new thoughts that really support us in our being that start to show up. And not only do those thoughts start to show up, we recognize them as being different from the previous thoughts. We also recognize them as being supportive of being ourselves and knowing ourselves. We also recognize them as creating the energy within us to want to do this more. And these thoughts will lead us to the bliss consciousness. And people have mislabeled bliss a long time. Well, why are you talking about bliss? Because they rather talk about happy. That's usually been a situation driven. When bliss is generated from within, how do you generate bliss from within? By allowing yourself to connect with yourself in such a way that you know that everything is okay. Was that helpful, Michael?
Yes, and the thing is, we did a lot of meditation together. We did the where we listen to bionic binaural beats, and we listened and did a lot of meditation. Now I've moved on to transcendental meditation, which I believe is the granddaddy of meditation. But my question to you would be, in doing the meditation, how does someone who's never meditated get started? Because people think meditating is just sitting around, closing your eyes, and falling asleep. But meditation is really reprogramming yourself and reprogramming your nervous system. So we all live in a situation where we're dealing with stress. Meditation helps to rebuild the nervous system. So in order to make life whole for somebody, how can they incorporate the meditation so it affects every part of their life, their education, what they're reading, what they're talking to people about? Because we're not going to change this paradigm in this world by coming back to the same nonsense that we deal with. We have to shift into something totally new. And I say totally, total knowledge will be bringing the light. Can you just elaborate on that even more? And how diet, how health, how everything is all connected. And when we start to understand this oneness, then we start to become whole, and we become holistic in our living, not in our approach to life, but in our living and being. So can you enlighten us on that?
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we seem to think that what we put in our body doesn't really matter. Our systems depend on what we put in our body to survive. And the way that we have been eating for the last hundreds of years is still the same way for many of us that the slaves, in quotes, ate, and the people before them. What do we do when times have changed completely? When we give ourselves permission to look at what we're feeding ourselves and do some research on what you're feeding yourself. And as you're researching it, go to, I'm going to say, underground websites, because they're going to give you some real truths, rather than taking the standard American diet stuff. Once you start to hydrating yourself with water, alkaline water, the best water that you can drink, when you start to do that, your body will automatically start to ask for something different in food. Now, that might not make any sense to you, but this is true. When you hydrate yourself, because the water, the body needs the water to optimize health. And because it needs the water to optimize health, when you give it that, you will notice that your taste buds will start to change. Don't argue with your taste buds. Just go ahead and feed it the nutritious food that it's requesting. When we start feeding and fueling our body correctly in a way that's nutritious, then we start to meditate. It's more clear for us to get the messages that we get. It's more clear for us to be able to listen, and we begin to enjoy it more. When we're cluttering up our systems with the foods that we've been putting in, sugar, for instance, but definitely you want to look at that, of course, and other things. But as you're looking at it, now that your body has started to give itself the fuel, the water, and everything that it needs, when you start to meditate, you can relax into it. You feel your shoulders going down. A lot of times we walk around, we're so stiff, our shoulders up around our ears. You feel your shoulders going down and back. You feel yourself just relaxing. Your whole step starts to change. Your stride starts to change. because your body is now just so excited about all that you're giving it, knowing that because the body is getting what it needs, the mind also is clearing out. And it gives you the opportunity to really look at stuff in a different way. And as you're looking at stuff in a different way, you can see, wait a minute, now this is what it's all about. Meditation gives you the opportunity to slow down, because when you start really taking care of yourself and nourishing yourself and all of that, you start to speed up. So meditation gives you that 20 minutes where you can just relax into it, allowing yourself to be present in the meditation. Many folks say that you get still and quiet and you shut off your mind. You don't shut off your mind, because that's always working. But what are you allowing in? As you allow in the goodness that is there for you, it becomes your norm. And your whole countenance changes because of that.
Thank you for that answer. That was quite beautiful. Now, the next thing, Inez, I know, because we've had many discussions about Andrew Harvey and his books on the divine feminine and relationships. I think it's very important, especially for the women, but just as equally as important for the men, to understand the power of the divine feminine and how that divine feminine is working within all of us, and that divine feminine is a great part of our liberation, because in unity consciousness, it is really the feminine and the balancing of consciousness. So can you talk on the divine feminine, how you live your life so that you're a representative of the divine feminine, and how that empowers you, and how it empowers women, and it empowers men, because when they learn that, they learn the greatest respect for women.
Michael, that's a good one, especially since the feminist movement that started, I think, back in the 60s, turned it 180 degrees away from the divine feminine. It became something that, I'm going to use the word bastardized, because that's what it was. And we seem to just suck it right in without any question. But of course, there was a whole reason for that happening. If you can get women to behave in different ways contrary to our divine nature, now you can control the population, okay? And in controlling the population, we're going to see that more and more of the feminist movement is coming into play. So the divine feminine is really just a part of us. It's on our DNA. It's part of who we be. And when we start to walk away from that, it changes us. And that's why we're seeing what we have. We're seeing right now in the world, not just in the United States. And the whole thing with music, all of that. So the divine feminine is that part of the woman that is pure, unadulterated love. And because it is pure love, the light from us shows up in a way that people wonder what she's got, and they want some of that. Now, for men, when they meet a woman who is really comfortable being feminine and enjoying life and expressing herself in such a way, many men find a problem with it because they haven't experienced it before. They've been experiencing everything other than that. They like it. They really want to get to know her. They just are a little bit afraid sometimes because this is too good to be real. It is real. When women own their femininity, they own their womb, they own themselves, now you got something going on. But as long as we are out there, and that the feministic kind of thing that's going on, the energy around that, we will always be lacking in knowing who we be because we have not allowed ourselves to connect in that way. And not allowing ourselves to really embrace the feminine divine energy, we do ourselves and the planet a disservice. Because everything generates from the female. And because of that, when we deny that, we are really doing the whole planet a disservice. Was that helpful, Michael?
Yes, I know. And when you were talking, it just brought up in my mind, in the Orthodox religions, like the Greek Orthodox and Romania, the Orthodox religions, they all honored the Black Madonna. Now, if you go to a service now, you'll see them worshiping the Black Madonna. And also, the first mitochondria, which are the energies in every cell, were found in Black women in East Africa. So they evolved in the natural race of dark-skinned people. Now, I'm not saying this to be in any form prejudice, but what I'm saying is that the image that everything is made, because everything comes from the womb, is made from the Black woman. And when we realize that and walk in the glory of who we truly are and walk in the glory of our power, of our divineness, of our ability to transcend this monotonous life of going around in a circle and chasing your tail and never growing and never becoming your purpose. Can you explain how the mitochondria and the Black Virgin Mary are very important for women to look to, and number also because it's very important for men to look to, because you remember that divine mother is the mother of all.
Did you say the Virgin Mary? I think you said something about the Virgin Mary.
The divine mother.
Okay. So as the divine mother, carrying the whole world on your shoulders, it could become a burden, you know, if you let it. And that's what has happened. The burden of carrying it all. And it became a burden because of the narratives around making it too heavy. What do I mean? What I am saying is this. When we started over 300 years ago, it's been systemically, purposefully, strategy, to make the woman less than, because they wanted a patriarchal society. Men wanted to run every single thing. And because men wanted to run every single thing, they had to make the woman less than. The woman was only to bear babies, that's it, to do anything else. Now, knowing that, it becomes a burden not to be yourself. How can you hide yourself all the time? And in hiding yourself, the whole feminine, divine feminine piece to this, the divine mother, is crying because that's not who we be. The patriarchy has really kept women down and women hiding. So when you're hiding yourself, that means that you're not allowing the divine feminine to come out. It also means that you have to show up strong all the time. Why? showing up strong didn't really get you anywhere. Showing up in your feminine nature is what gets you somewhere. So now it's time to let that burden of feeling burdened down because you're a woman is letting it go and embrace your femininity. That's how I see it.
Well, and you see it, and we look at the mind of creativity. In that mind of creativity becomes your central awareness of yourself, the central awareness of the power of the womb, the awareness of the breast, the nurturing. And this has all been given to the woman. And so we need women to help us nurture this whole world and to come back into wholeness. Because until we raise up and remove the shackles, we will always be controlled. And what you talked about, controlled and clearing the clutter out of your mind, because that is what forms the blockages. So why is it important for people to try something new, to read a new book, to go to a different play, to do things, expand your consciousness, and then have discussions about it? Because people live in that proverbial 12-block radius, and they really never leave that 12-block radius, so their thinking is always in that 12 blocks. So how do people step out of it? Because there's a lot of fear and feeling unsafe because it's new, and until they step out of it, they will never learn to love it. So how do people make those first steps? Because you've counseled a lot of people.
The first step is recognizing that it is a desire of your heart to see and do something different, to be different. And now what does that difference look like? That's where meditation comes in. As you are reconnecting with yourself, you know that in those 12 blocks, once you change, everybody's going to look at you like, what happened to you? So how do you own your change when you still want to be in the 12 blocks? And then sometimes it gets to a point where you can't say that anymore because there's nobody there with whom you can relate. And that's okay, because as you move out of the box into the 13th block to the 25th block, you're going to find others who are like you. And as you find others who are like you, it becomes your new norm. The biggest thing is removing the fear around the change and the new knowledge that you are getting. As you travel, and I use that intentionally, as you travel from one place to another, because you will be doing that, you will attract to you those of like mind. There's an energy that bounces off of us that like-minded people see. And like-minded people will come to you. You don't have to come to them. And I know that for a fact because I've experienced it so many times. When you are sure of yourself and knowing who you be, you're enjoying life, and you've been willing to accept the changes, noticing and being mindful and being open-minded and all of that. And the more you do it, the more you like it. As you are being mindful, open-minded, motivated to live on your new quest, things start happening magically for you. It's almost like you got some fairy dust or something sprinkling down on you all the time. Because once you decide and you get the nerve to go for it, opens up so many possibilities. The hesitancy comes because, am I brave enough to step out? Am I really brave enough to learn something new? You know, there are people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s right now, and their best years were when they were in high school on a high school basketball team. That's all they can still talk about. They're stuck. They've not given themselves the permission, given themselves the nerve or the bravery to move forward. wonder what would happen, even if at this age they make the decision. Got to be more than that. Look at all these years I've lived, and all I've been talking about is high school. What would happen if I change? Think about that for a moment, Michael.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Inez. You're talking about that. Explain to people the difference between being open-minded and being curious, because I think they go hand in hand, but curiosity expands the open-mindedness. So can you talk how those two partners work together in helping one to expand their consciousness?
Curiosity, they always say, kill the cat, you know. Curiosity leads us to exploring. I look at curiosity as a two-year-old toddler. That toddler will walk around the house and see something shiny, and pick it up in their little hands. And they turn it every kind of way. I mean, they look at every facet of it. That's curiosity. What is this? And as they are turning the thing in their hand, that shiny object, and once they get comfortable with it, it goes straight to their mouth. That is how open-mindedness and curiosity works together. Because now that you've felt it, you've seen it, and all that, you want to taste it. Open-mindedness gives you the joy of tasting it, the deliciousness of whatever it is that your heart has been longing for, and now you're saying yes to.
Now, Inez, as time is running out a little bit, what is your picture of what this society would look like when we all start to become whole, when we all start to meditate, when we all start to live in our wholeness? What would be the changes in our society? What would be the changes in our society when we move from a fear-based consciousness to a love-based consciousness? How would the world be different, and how would the interactions between people be different?
Now, that is a really good question, because when we all come from love, as I not just see it, I know that there would be no more wars, because there would be not be a need for it. There would be bliss and joy. People would laugh. And that's one of the things I didn't talk about is laughter. Laughter is good for the soul, just like water is good for the body. And it would be the energy of joy. It would be the energy of bliss. It would be the energy of, let me help you do that. How can I help you? What can I do for you? Not what can I get out of it, but what can I give? How much more can I give? That would be what we would be experiencing. A whole lot of folks just drop dead because they don't want to.
Right. But what your answer is right in harmony with the Bhagavad Gita, because that's that internal battle that we go through, either to be selfless or to be selfish. And so when you talk about this, you're actually talking about bringing more light into the world and more becoming light bearers. So once we walk into a dark room, turn on the switch, the room becomes full of light. And it's the same way when we go through the life in this dark cloud, when we go in this life of ignorance, where we don't do the work on ourselves, when we start to do the work on ourselves, all of a sudden those lights in the areas in your body start to connect in your mind, in your consciousness. So when we start to collect those, turn on those lights within ourselves, what does bliss really feel like? What does joy really feel like? Because I know in all my travels, you were one of the most liberated women I've ever met. And so just share how you liberated yourself and came into this consciousness of freedom.
As a young child, there were seven of us. And my first 9 years, I grew up as a sharecropper's daughter. My parents were sharecroppers. And once we moved off the farm, even when we were on the farm, my uncles and my granddaddy used to read. They were avid readers. And every 90 days, they would bring us all their books and magazines. So we were readers as well. And I started reading those books, and I would see how people were living in other places. I mean, they had all genres of books. And I started seeing myself as if I were in the book. You know, imagination can run very strong when you're young anyway. And I felt it. I just felt like this is how life can be. And it stayed with me all the time. And I've always looked for the good in others. Sometimes I don't always see it, but I've always looked for the good in others. And if I'm looking for the good in others, I know that I'm giving the good in me. So therefore, it's really interesting how that works, because you attract to you, even in foreign countries, you attract to you people of like mind. I remember traveling. I'll just give this. I was traveling. I was in Fiji, and I was invited to the October thing for breast cancer, and I went, and I was walking up the one side of the parking lot into the hotel, and the woman was walking from the other side, and we nodded. And I said to myself, when I go inside, I'm going to introduce myself to her. Well, she everybody knew her. She had already been seated. Make a long story short, I introduced myself, and we became the best of friends. But we were like-minded. She was also an optimist. She knew what she wanted and found out, actually, that she is the niece of who was the then president of Fiji. Who would know? And I said that to say, when you attract to you people of like mind, but you got to know yourself. I can't be A today and F tomorrow or Z tomorrow. People want to see the same person showing up all the time. But the only way you can be the same person showing up all the time is to be your natural self. Now, how do you get to be your natural self? Well, some is going to take some work, because you've always been told who you could be and who you couldn't be. When you decide to let Aunt Jane and Grandma's telling you who you could be go, and be your own self, that is when you will be able to experience exquisite bliss all the time. You will be satisfied. See, satisfaction is huge. Many of us walk around, we're never satisfied with anything. We go buy a new car, the payment comes, we're not satisfied with the car anymore. How is it that we allow ourselves to continue to look outside of ourselves for things to be satisfied? Well, we're going to get a bigger house. Well, why? How do you get to be satisfied? You go within. You go within and you stay there for a minute or two or three or four or 20 and allow yourself to come to terms with the book stops here. I am it. I am she. That is it. Now, who do I be?
Well, in looking back on our history together, we were in a Power of Eight group based on the book by Lynn McTaggart, The Power of Eight. And in that group, we were teaching people how to manifest the hidden things in life. Can you explain a little bit about your experience and how we were unconsciously able to will things and make magic happen for people? Can you explain that a little bit so people can get and understand the power that they're walking around, that they're carrying with in their consciousness? It goes down to their mind, and when they can eliminate that ego to being one with everyone, then they really feel the power of who they are. So can you explain that a little bit deeper?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a good question, Michael, because what we focus on, what we concentrate on, that's what we bring into our existence. And whether we do it consciously or not being aware of it at all, that's what's happening. And we keep wondering why the same thing keeps coming to us. And it keeps coming because we don't want it, but we're focusing on what we don't want. So what you and I did, we held the space for people to really get to focus on those things that they desired. And not only that, we showed them how to do it. And in showing people how to focus on it, it's a simple process. Notice what's coming in, being mindful of what's coming into your life, your thoughts, the words that you say. And let me just tell you this, words cast spells. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Words cast spells. If you say you can't do it, I guarantee you can't. If you say you can do it, it might take a little bit to do it, but you can do it. That is a truth. That's a universal law. And because of that, whenever we decide, that's the key right there to decide, make that decision that I deserve and I shall have the desires of my heart. And that now, so then the first thing come out of your mouth is, but I don't want that. You just focus on something that's not a desire, so why are you focusing on that? Focus on that, the desires of your heart. As you are focusing on it, it becomes your norm. Your words actually change. You catch yourself saying it. As you are catching yourself, as you are being noticing and mindful of things, life starts to change. And people around you will notice, oh, she's speaking differently now. She's speaking into existence. That's what being consciously aware of creating what you want in your life. And as you do that, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. You start to feel satisfied now. You're no longer, I don't know if anybody of you ever had a spinning top, a metal thing that you push down and you let it spin and you take your hand off until it falls down. So you stop being that spinning top. You don't have to fall over anymore because you have really come to terms with yourself. That is another decision. Come into terms with yourself. That can be really huge because you have not been to terms with yourself for so long. So who is this self appearing? That's you.
Inez, can you tell people how they can reach you? Can you tell them about your new TV show that's going to be on the Roku channel? And can somebody mute their lines because they're starting to get that feedback again? So if you can mute your lines, but can you tell them how they can get in contact with you, your information, some of the books that you've written, some of your podcasts that you're doing now? Can you just give people a rundown of how they can contact you and how they can view and gain your wisdom by listening to you? So can you give people all that information? So grab a pen and paper.
Absolutely. You can reach me at inezbracy.com. That's I-N-E-Z as in Zia. Bracy, B-R-A-C-Y.com. And on my website, you will see a contact form. You can contact me from there. My TV show is we just launched on Monday to get on the Roku channel, and my show is Aha Moments, and is on the Win-Win Women Network, and you'll be able to search for Win-Win Women, and you will be able to find that. And I'm also on Facebook as well, so I have a Facebook, Inez Bracy, I think that's what I am on there. Yeah. So, yeah, you can reach me on social media.
Okay. And Inez, one last question. Tell people a little bit about your journey in Fiji, how you just packed up and went to Fiji. And because I think that's a classic example of the truth of everything and the wisdom that you have given us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Reading those books as a child, I always wanted to go to faraway places and experience the different cultures and meet the people and all of that. I started out actually in the Philippines, and I did 14 countries while I was out, and Fiji was one of my favorites. Because I had been in New Zealand and Australia before I got to Fiji, and it was wintertime there, and it was so cold. And when I got to Fiji and stepped off the plane on the tarmac, because they didn't have the jetways and stuff, I felt something say, "Breathe, you are home." And it felt like home. People are just awesome. And almost all of them look like me, which was awesome. And they have this connection to nature, to the earth, to the water. It was just awesome. That's how I got to Fiji. I was trying to find myself a warm place to go, and Fiji popped up, and I went over there to get warm, and I stayed for almost a year.
Yes. Well, Inez, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us, because it's very important. There are a number of takeaways, like connecting to yourself, becoming yourself, being yourself, and finding that freedom, because that freedom, that Moshe, that liberation is what brings you the true joy of the bliss of who we are. So thank you. And any words that you want to leave us with in closing?
Let me just thank you all so much for allowing me the space to have this conversation. And the one thing, well, I'm going to give you two things, that I would like to leave with you is to be sure to hydrate yourself. Drink three times as much water as you think you're drinking. And to sit quietly, just sit quietly. And when thoughts come, if you want to hold on to it, keep it. If not, just let it go right back out into the universe. Because, you know, every thought that's ever been had is out in the universe. So when you give it some space to log into your thoughts, that might be one that you want to let go or you want to keep. Thank you.
Great. And on that note, what I will say is, in keeping those thoughts, that's why I love transcendental meditation, because there's no way that you can stop your thoughts from coming. But when you say your mantra, what you're doing is you're transcending into the higher realms of consciousness. So you move into the transcendental realm, then you move into cosmic consciousness, God consciousness, and unity consciousness, where everything is unified. And that is your highest state of consciousness. So when we walk in that, we find the peace, the joy, and the bliss, and the understanding to make the personal change in ourselves so that we become the people that we want to become and live in the peace, in the love, in the light. And we use, as Inez said, discernment, because everything is a choice within a choice. Within a choice. So when we make the choice that is in harmony with nature, we are making the choice that is in harmony with our highest self. So thank you, Inez, for coming in. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for your beautifulness as a woman and talking about the fullness of womanhood. We appreciate you and bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I like to say thank you, Sister Inez, for coming on the Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. And we definitely looking for you to come back soon. So I've got Brother Michael will be in contact with you, and have fun down Fiji because it's cold up here.
Thank you.
That's a pleasure having you on. And peace and blessings, and you take care of yourself.
And you as well. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. And Brother Michael, once again, thank you for having such an informative guest on. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brother Michael Collins, and through him, we had Sister Inez come on this evening. Now, with that being said, all right, now we're going to have Brother Rashad come on, and I want you guys to listen very carefully, because Well, I'd just like to say two quick things before we bring on Brother Rashad. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, my technician's name is Randy J. Sean Jackson. He has a podcast that comes on Friday nights. It's called Keeping It Real. And he had a sister come on last night talk about narcissism. And she was very, very impactful. All right, he had a wonderful guest on, wonderful two guests last night. So when you get a chance, same number, Friday nights, it's called Keeping It Real with Mr. Jackson. All right, so check him out on Friday nights. Also, once again, because I know some people have come on late, I want to thank you for your support, all right, for supporting the Green Tea, because as you know, as you see, we hit you from different angles on this podcast because we give you different schools of thought, but you do your homework and you come to your own conclusion, because everybody is their own individual, but at the same time, there are times when we have to come together. Now, you know, when back in the day when we were in school and we had a little playground fight or something, you didn't fight nobody with an open hand, all right, unless you knew some real ancient martial art, okay, you close your fist. See, when you hold your hand up, like when you want to say like the number five and you're signifying on your hand, all your fingers are open. But, you know, when you're getting that playground, you want to get the bully, whatever, you have to ball your fists up. We have to come together like that clenched fist family. This is why I do this. This is why I start this podcast, okay? So we have to come together, support. Once again, thank you for the Green Tea. You go on my Facebook page. That's Mr. Forrest with two R's, Nance, N-A-N-C-E, support. Also, Brother Rashad is going to tell you about his black seed oil. Thank you for the support that went to Brother Rashad, because I believe he got a call of about four people called in last week for the black seed oil. One sister called in from Washington, Brother Ishmael's daughter. So we're going to have to get that black seed oil down to her. Brother Rashad got the information on it. And also Brother Michael from Longevity Products. Also want to thank you, thank Brother Ishmael Shabazz from Kingston, New York, who's working up there with the gangs up there, and he's doing a wonderful thing. You know, he knows what's going on because he was once part of the problem, now he's part of the solution, as we all were. I was part of the problem. You know, I've expressed what I did in the past, and I could have done something a little differently, you know. But like I said, we all make mistakes. But either with age comes wisdom or with age comes foolishness, all right? And also my dear brother Leon down there in Atlantic City, all right? Sister Karen from Space for Grace is listening. You guys remember when she was talking about narcissism, she had the panel on with Minister Deborah and Sister Jada out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They'll be back. I'm going to let you guys know in March. And they'll be on every week, just like Manuel Gomez comes on. They have a permanent platform on Grown Folks Talking. All right, somebody in the background is chopping a sandwich. Put it on mute for a while. I can hear you chopping that sandwich. I know we get a little hungry when we eat. But anyway, thank you once again for your Green Tea support. All right, and like I said, we always present something healthy. We try to nourish your mind, and we also try to spiritually uplift you. And you heard Sister Inez talking about the spirit, and Brother Michael Collins once again. That's our spiritual brother. I always joke with him. I said, one day I'm going to walk in on him. He's going to be levitating 3 feet off the ground, you know, doing the Haji thing. But the brother is very impactful, and when I talk to him offline, and we talk, you know, the brother reminds me about certain things. He's really into his meditation and family. You need to take time to meditate, get your thoughts together. And like I said, I know it's hard out here because the devil is running rampant out here, but you can't give up. You got to stay positive. You got to be a beacon, especially to the young people. And if young people, if you're listening, we're not trying to tell you what to do. Just take the advice of what somebody's trying to tell you, because we've been down that road. You guys are just getting in the elevator. We on the 28th floor. You traveling up now, all right? You're just getting on the elevator. You ain't been past the second floor. Listen to what we're trying to tell you, all right? Because we're not going to hurt you. We're not going to do anything that's going to harm you. We're just going to try to steer you in the right direction, as my mother would say, all right? Anyway, family, without further ado, we're going to bring on, and also, last thing, real quick, we may, in the month of April or May, stay tuned. We're going to take this to a second. We're going to do a conference call. We can just dial in one number and come in because we're getting the overlap of information. That's why we're extending our podcast tonight for an extra half an hour, all right, because we got a wealth of information, and we need to hear from you guys. We need a commentary, okay? So with that being said, all right, we're going to look at getting another day and a conference call. We can just call in, and we could all talk as a family and, like, Brother Gomez said, move to action. You know, because we used to always say in high school, words are dandy, but deeds are divine. All right? So we have to start doing things, family, and start putting our heads together, and most of all, supporting each other. All right? But anyway, Brother Rashad, are you there?
Yes, I am, my brother.
All right. Family, Brother Rashad El Amin.
I want to thank the listening audience for tuning in, and I especially like to thank that Sister Inez. Such a wonderful information that she shared. And Michael, thank you for bringing her on. That was very beautiful. Everything she said is what I believe in, and it just felt so good knowing like minds out there, and that just made my night. And also, before I put this clip on, I know Sister Nakia called me from Washington, D.C., if she's listening. Give me a call and get a chance. Let me know how you made out with the black seed. If you had a problem, just call me and let me know, and we'll try to work this out. Now, what I'm going to play, brothers and sisters, this is the clip I recorded, and this is a doctor speaking about, now this is a pro-vaccine doctor, orthodox doctor, talking about the vaccine and that you shouldn't vaccinate your children. So I'm going to let him do the talking and just listen in, and if I have time, I may have another clip to play. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to start this tape now, so listen in.
I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risks from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason I'm giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that, as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Okay, that's Dr. Robert Malone. He invented, let's be very clear, he invented the very technology and supported vaccineology for 40 years. He invented the RNA technology. He has published multiple peer-reviewed journals, and until he started to see the problems with this vaccine and look at the inconsistencies in what was being said, he got his own vaccine shots of the RNA. Would he tell you to give it to your child? You just heard him say, fight and resist. Every single study that I can find in the world literature says the same thing. Your children are not at risk of dying from COVID. In fact, in the 0.1% of them dying, they're going to die from a lot of other things, accidents and drowning, but not COVID. Now, if they have comorbidities, then you have to work on those comorbidities. And those who have died, they've died of leukemia, and obesity and heart disease from lifestyle and only had COVID present as an antibody reaction. They didn't die from COVID. So that's the truth of it. So this is purely about making money. It has nothing to do with public health. Just remember this. In a year from now, when this is all passed and everybody realized what kind of mistake they made by overreacting and not dealing with the true problems and treating people early on and having a national preventative program, but that's still to come. Your turn to call in, 888.
All right, brothers and sisters, I hope you appreciated that clip, and please take heed. This is the guy that invented the RNA technology, and he's telling you. So if you want to vaccinate your children, that's your choice. But always do your homework, do your research. That man said it takes 5 years of research to see if these vaccines actually work. Like I said, this is an experimental vaccine, whether you give it to the children or the adults. And there's other clips I have where they're shown organ failure in adults who take the vaccine. And if they don't have it now, it's in a couple of years, you don't start seeing it. So everybody's rushing to take this vaccine. They're pushing it all on TV, all these commercials. But we line up, and I hate to say it, you know, but it's only from ignorance. We line up like sheep without questioning anything. You should always question. There's people all over the planet right now who are protesting. Germany and France, they got millions of people out there protesting this vaccine. They're against it, okay? Then you have other countries where it's forced on them, and they become fascist states. And they've gotten to the point where you don't take that vaccine, like Austria, and you're 18 and over, you didn't take the vaccine, you will be fined $700 or $1,500 and on and on. These are the things that's happening out there. Australia had some of the harshest laws where you couldn't even leave your house. You couldn't, yeah, I mean, you just have to research this stuff. But what I'm saying is do your homework, brother and sister. Don't rush into anything. The old saying, fools rush in where wise men dare to tread. You understand? So that's all I'm saying. Now, there's another clip here. It's short. This is Charles Schwab. Y'all heard of him? He's talking about chipping. But anyway, let me play this one real quick. And Forrest, how much time do we have?
We have the 9:30, my brother.
Okay, let me play this clip here real quick. This one's short.
874-488. I've set 10 minutes aside for you today. And also for those of you...
Let me get to it. I have to fast forward this thing. Hold on 1 minute, y'all. Here we go, y'all.
Logical identities. When I wrote the book, I started to write it for years ago. It was published 2 years ago. It was so very interesting.
Okay, that's just one clip. You heard what he said. That's Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, and the person who's kind of coordinating all the different groups, and there are hundreds of different groups, and selected from Davos, selected from the Council on Foreign Relations. The individuals are selected from all these power groups to participate, to give it legitimacy. Biological, he said. And then in the other clip, he says we're going to get chips so that we have biological markers. But now these chips, his first statement was in 2016. That's where he said we're going to chip everybody and through the vaccines. So the vaccines are the opportunity for them to get the data on a person. Now, I'm not saying that they caused the pandemic. That's not what I'm referring to. And I challenge people who said, well, the reason was population control. I disagree with that. But I do know that they've taken advantage of this pandemic, and now they're looking at, in nice words, how we can get out of it by trusting them. You owe nothing, and you'll be happy. Tomorrow, Kim Iverson is going to take a look at that, and she agrees this is a dangerous precedent. But more importantly, there's a person that's going to be on tomorrow in depth explaining why you do not want anything taken away from you and given to a corporation.
All right. The Charles Schwab part, what he was speaking at, I couldn't, it was so short, I couldn't get it all, but Gary Noe did explain what the man was saying. Now, I do have another clip. It may not be as clear as that one, but I want you to hear this. I think this is very important, too. Hold on.
Outcomes. It's leading to worse outcomes. There's something that as a resident we call the Ulysses Syndrome, which was you found an unnecessary test and it came back positive. If you do 20 tests, one of them is going to come down slightly abnormal, and then you go to the lab to do more tests, and that's why you get sent on an odyssey. Which is a very expensive odyssey, and sometimes you end up with even unnecessary surgery.
Doesn't privatization of healthcare also lead to a two-tiered system where the wealthy people can buy faster access to more healthcare?
It does. And
you got to pardon me. That was the wrong clip. Let me go back. I'm sorry about that. Hold on 1 second, y'all. And make sure I got the right one here.
I have my own practice, and I'm the only person in town treating COVID. this always works. I'm a member of FLCCC Alliance, NC Physicians for Freedom, and the Medical Freedom Summit. And I would ask y'all to please stop using fear and putting masks on our kids. The vaccine is not going to work. Early treatment has always worked, and government mismanagement of patients is why people have died. And families have realized this, and they are rising up, and they are going to come after government and the hospital. I was highly decorated and highly respected at Tanner. I was a November 2020 Employee of Excellence, and I had a job opportunity this year from the Chief Medical Director at the hospital, and I chose to walk out and stand up for what is right. But putting these masks on our kids is not going to help, nor is vaccination, and we all need to realize that. It is out, the cat is out of the bag, and people are speaking globally, including the inventor of the vaccine.
I want to say, first of all, that we must not quibble about deals. The facts are on the table. The facts have been presented by Adam Bockart a week ago. And the facts are telling. All these vaccines, independent of manufacturers, produce the same result in the vaccinees. He has looked at 15 in the last 4 days. The number has been increased to 70 individuals who died after vaccination without any connection to vaccination being established by the authorities. So these were people who died at home, at work, in the car, doing their sport, etc., etc., etc. This is very, very important. Most problems were performed because the relatives insisted on this, and nothing was found, so the organs appeared normal. However, when Adam Bockart, professor of pathology, one of the most experienced professors in Germany, who's now finished, by the way, like me, proceeded to look at these organs over the last 6 months, he has been day after day looking at these organs. He discovered something that was so absolutely damning and absolutely, there's no question now anymore about what is going on. And the answer is in the organs of these people. 90% found clear evidence for autoimmune self-attack by killer lymphocytes on the tissues. The main ones being the heart, the lung, and after that, other tissues such as liver, etc., etc. Of the Doctors for COVID Ethics, and is going viral around the world because these data are so damning that you don't have to start looking for other data to know that these vaccines are killing the young and the old. And they are killing our children. And so I don't know what we're talking about. Look at these pictures. Look at these bullets that are being shot into the people who are being vaccinated, into children who are, in a way, we need this video. And we're going to say, all right, children, stand up against the wall. This is a water pistol, and you're going to be shot with this water pistol. And it's not going to hurt. The water may hit into your eyes. They may burn. Cardi, the eyes may burn, but nothing will happen. And you will be protected. And you will protect your parents and grandparents from all this bullshit.
Brother Rashad.
Children, let's shut up.
Yes, sir.
That's a little, it's a little hard to understand. It's very staticky. I just had somebody text me, so you can't understand what that last tape is saying, brother.
Yeah, well, what's happening is this, I'm going to turn that off. The guy's an English guy, so it's not coming in. That's why I said that clip there wasn't coming in clear. Now, the lady before, she was clear.
She was clear, yes, I heard that.
Yeah,
so,
I could understand it on my side, but probably through the phone, it's not
right.
That clear. And you know, it's hard to understand because these Englishmen or whatever, you understand, you know, so it's
mm-hmm.
not coming in. But I just hope the people got the message of what they're trying to say, just like that one nurse talking about all the people dying in the hospitals and stuff. And she was really upset about that. And she's
right.
seen it with her own eyes. She witnessed everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is not going to tell you all the truth because you got to remember, people, listen. There's two sides to every story. Side. It's like there's two sides to every coin. If you just listen to one side and don't bother to listen to the other, then that's not right. You got to make your own judgment, but you got to listen to both sides, and you can determine from there what you feel is the truth or what is the lie. But most of us, we listen to one side of the story, CNN, NBC, CBS, they all repeat the same news. They read from the same script,
mm-hmm.
but don't listen to the other side of the story, and so you're only getting one side. Now, whatever the truth is, you have to determine that. But we got people who bring out facts, and that's why I said get the book, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Everything is laid out, facts, with footnotes, everything. And the other book called The Plandemic by Mickey Willis, excellent book, exposes everything, okay? So this is not no conspiracy stuff we're talking. We're just talking facts and science. Some of you might be sitting there, oh, that's YouTube, conspiracy. No. Please. So I hope you appreciated those clips. And I want to thank you for allowing me the time to share that with the audience.
Anytime, buddy.
I guess we're just about out of time, right, Forrest?
Yeah, we got a minute and a half left. So right quick, Rashad, give people your information if they're looking for that black seed oil, please.
Yes, it's 973-673-0699. You can call me for the black seed. If you're local, it's easy for me to deliver. Now, if you're out of town, then I have to find out what the delivery, the shipment fee is and everything. And that's why I mentioned Nakia. Just let me know if she was able to contact with the website I gave her. If not, she can call me back and we'll work something out so she can get that black seed.
Right, right.
So I want
okay,
to thank
well,
you again, my brother,
yes,
and the audience.
Don't worry about that, brother. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I'm sure the crowd feels the same way, the podcast audience. So, family, once again, in conclusion, Brother Rashad El-Amin, our naturopath. You guys know he's been with me from day one. Brother Michael Collins, thanks to him. Brother Ishmael, and also Brother Leon from Atlantic City for coming on, and also Karen and the Space for Grace, and also Space for Grace. I'm sorry. And also, just like to say thank you to my technician, Jay. And listen, fam, when we do clips, we're going to make them more clear because we got to get them an MP3 form to our technician, Randy J. Sean Jackson. Peace and blessings. Catch you next week. And go to my Facebook page, Forrest Nance. Check the itinerary for our guests coming on. Y'all take care, and we'll see you next week. And be safe and eat well. Take care.
Take care, my brother.